Sanctity Side. It's great to be back. I know Lauren will say he didn't know I was gone, but been gone on a trip to Africa, as most all of you know. I want to talk about that trip with you this morning. In the book of Acts, chapter 14 and verse 27, the Apostle Paul and Barnabas returned back to Antioch, and it says, when they'd come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them. And also you can read in Acts chapter 15, and down about verse 4, when Paul and Barnabas went down to Jerusalem. When they'd come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. And so it's a very scriptural thing to get the church together and report about the work that evangelists have done, especially when those churches are directly involved in the work of said evangelists. So my recent trip to South Africa and Zimbabwe with my fellow preachers Tad Porter and Joe Greer was enabled by the generous financial support of the Eastside Church collectively, as well as by several of you individually. I recognize, and I express this to the brethren over there, that our presence there was an expression of your love for the gospel of Jesus Christ, for brethren in a faraway place, and for the souls of men. They understand, I think, how much you care about them. Our trip was sustained through your prayers and empowered by the goodness and mercy of God. And so I want to share with you this morning some of the work that you have had fellowship in. This is fruit that abounds to your account at Eastside, as Paul describes the Philippians in Philippians chapter 4. He says the things they did to help him, that was fruit that abounded to their account. Well, this is fruit that abounds to your account here at Eastside. Our theme for this year at Eastside is serving God by serving others. And you have served others by enabling me to go to Africa, to teach the gospel, to encourage brethren, and to lift up hands that are striving to do His will. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 12, Paul is talking to the Corinthians about a gift that he is going to take to alleviate some physical needs among the churches in a church in Jerusalem. And he says about this gift, he says the administration of this service, and that's what he calls it, a service, not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And I can't tell you how many people in South Africa and Zimbabwe said, thank the brethren. Thank the brethren. Greet the brethren. Thank them for the work that they allowed you to do in coming here. Over and over and over again, these were the kinds of expressions. Thanksgiving to God abounded because of your generous support in enabling us to go and do this work. I want to talk about the trip. I'm going to describe some of the details of it. And some of the things I'll describe really aren't the most important parts of the trip, but enable you to understand. If you've been following me on Facebook the last 2 weeks, some of this will be repetitive as I try to keep up and describe it on my Facebook page. But we'll start with our trip to South Africa. There's a flight that goes from Atlanta. We drove over to Atlanta on July 7th and flew out, arrived in South Africa, Johannesburg, on the evening of July 8th. It's about a 16-hour flight, and we lose about 7 hours of time. They're 7 hours ahead of us, so it takes 24 hours or more, really, in airports and airplanes just to get to Johannesburg. And we're greeted there by Alan Fox, who preaches in Johannesburg at the Brixton congregation there. He's been there for some time. Alan and Sylvia are strong and faithful workers in the kingdom. A lot of preachers that go to Africa, especially the southern part, will fly into Johannesburg. And Alan and Sylvia are so good to pick them up and show them hospitality, give them a place to stay, help them along their way. They did this for me last year when I went to South Africa. And in meeting them and talking with them last year, Alan said, you know, the thing is, you preachers come through Johannesburg, but nobody stays here to do the work. You just go on to other places in South Africa, or you go to Zimbabwe or Mozambique or something. And so this year, with two other preachers going with me, we determined that one of us would stay in Johannesburg and do some work there. actually visit the congregations there. So we left Joe Greer in Johannesburg to work there for a week, and I took Tad Quarter, who's a young preacher from Crossville, Alabama. I took him with me, and we went on down to Durban and worked there for a week. So here you have the layout of South Africa, and here is Johannesburg, where we landed and stayed the night with Alan and Sylvia. And then we got back, Tad and I got on a plane and flew on down to Durban here on the coast of South Africa, where Patty Kinderball is. And we stayed with Patty and Sandy for a week of work there. Of course, the church here at Eastside also helps support Patty in the work that he's doing there. And it's just an invaluable work that he does. The brethren there are so grateful that he works among the congregations, that he's able to do what he does do in encouraging them and holding Bible studies and in lifting up holy hands. And so the work that we did with Tad and I did, was in association with Patty and Sandy in South Africa. Here's the city of Durban. This is not a picture I took, it's a tourist picture. So this just gives you an idea, and many of you know this already. Durban's a very large city, about 3.5 million people. Many of them are immigrants from India or descendants of immigrants from India. There's a high population of ethnic Indians in this city, actually the highest population of Indians in any city outside of India in the whole world. So a lot of members of the church there in Durban are of Indian descent. And this is a place where I went last year and did some work, and I reported about that. So some of this will be familiar to you. I know Gary and Tracy Boyd are especially familiar with this area. Others that we have here have been in the area before as well. Well, the very first night that I was in Durban, we just got our feet on the ground and we got settled in at Patty and Sandy's. And Patty works with the Westville Church. That's where he has his membership. He works with a number of other churches, but he works with the Westville Church of Christ. And so Wednesday evening, they meet in the house of Prabhu and Shameen Lukraj. And this is a wonderful family of Christians. They have some teenage children and four kids, and they're some of the core of that congregation at Westville. So we met there. I preached on the subject of hell that night. Thursday morning, a bunch of us gathered at the home of Patty and Sandy. There were actually about 25 of us for a Bible reading. School was out down there, so the school kids didn't have enough to do during the day, I guess, and so they agreed to get the school kids together and have a Bible reading along with quite a number of adults. As I said, there were 25 of us. We had a Bible reading for about 45 minutes. The men read in the kitchen, and the ladies read in the living room, and then we got together, and they let the young people ask the two visiting preachers any question they wanted to. So for about 45 minutes, Pat and I were grilled with a number of questions. This is just a great thing. I might suggest this here. For some of you who are wondering what to do with the kids during summer break or spring break or something like that, this is a really wonderful activity. And the young people there seem to really enjoy this. They especially enjoyed asking us some pretty difficult questions, which we spent some time studying and answering. So that was our day on Thursday, our morning at least. And then we had lunch with Les and Linda Maydell. The Maydells have been working in South Africa and in Zimbabwe for a long time. Many of you have heard their names. We were associated with them some during this week and got a lot of encouragement from Les and Linda. They work in the Durban area, but also throughout South Africa and up into Zimbabwe. Thursday night, I preached at a congregation called Shastri Park. There were quite a number of people there. This is actually not that assembly. This is a later assembly, but this is where they meet in a school gymnasium, fairly large congregation for that area. And that night I preached on the idea of stirring up the gift, using our talents in service of the Lord. We went over to one of the elders' houses afterwards, Tad and I and Patty and Sandy, where we visited long into the night. Lemmy Chetty is the man's name, and he likes to ask a lot of Bible questions and have Bible discussions. And so we were up pretty late that night. Had a very full day that Thursday. On Friday, we started a meeting at the Shallcross congregation, another of the churches in the Durban area. Shallcross is a wonderful group of Christians. They have some professional people in this congregation. They also have some people who are somewhat impoverished, really, so there's a wide variety of folks. Shellcross Church had asked me to come and preach on some specific subjects, and they had worked on having a two-day gospel meeting Friday night for a couple of hours and Saturday all afternoon and evening. And they wanted me to preach on some specific subjects. On Friday night, they wanted me to talk about why God allows pain and suffering. And so we had an extended assembly on that Friday evening. Here's some of the crowd that Friday evening. We had about 90, I think, in attendance there, which is a really good crowd for them. And then on Saturday, again, we met at Shellcross, and here is us just gathering. They had rearranged the seats, actually, to get more people in. We had about 95. They only had 100 chairs in this place, and they were right next to each other. So we had about 95, some visitors from the community. I preached the lesson that I preached here a few weeks ago, Jesus Above All Gods. They'd requested that I preach that lesson. And they also wanted a lesson on how we got the Bible. So I preached an extensive lesson on that. Tad preached a lesson here on sexual immorality. So this was a good day of work among that congregation. Tad and I became aware of a very needy member in that church at Shellcross. And with some of the money that individuals had given us, we gave her about $250, which is more than twice as much as the monthly income that she makes supporting a household of eight. So she was very, very grateful to individuals here at Eastside who provided that money. Well, Saturday evening, after that long day, I got in the car with Adam Kindleball, and he drove about an hour and a half down to Uvongo, where he preaches down on the far southern coast of South Africa. And so this is Sunday morning, and we're meeting with the little group at Uvongo where Adam Kindleball preaches. This group meets in what we would call a veterans hall, and you can see some of the members, actually the people right in front there, the young couple, they were visiting. They're not members there, but most of the rest of these, I think we had about 25 or so by the time everybody got there. And we preached a couple of sermons there. One of the sermons I preached was authority in the work of the church. Almost all of the Christians in this little church have come out of institutionalism. And Adam has been working with them on some of these topics, and I'd intended to preach this lesson a year ago when I was there, but you might remember my mother passed away, and my trip was cut short, and I had to come home early. So this is a sermon I did not get to preach last year that I wanted to preach for that congregation and got to preach it. It was very well received. We had some good comments about it, and I appreciated being with them that Sunday morning. Sunday evening, we hightailed it back up to Durban, and I preached that night at the Westville Church, and on Sunday evenings they meet in the community center, and here we are coming into the community center. Everybody sits at a table, and I don't know how many we had there, maybe 60 or so in attendance, and I had preached to them about hell that first Wednesday night I was there, so I preached to them about the heavenly home on that Sunday night. Tad preached the lesson about the earthly home, the home as God would have it, with husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and children. He preached a very good lesson on that topic. So Monday was a little bit of an off day. I put some finishing touches on some lessons I was preparing for Zimbabwe. We washed our clothes. We had supper with the Luckrajas that night, this very wonderful family that lives not far from Patty and Sandy. Tuesday, we had a time with Roy Nadu, who's a prominent member in one of the churches that we did not get to visit. But we had a good time with him, discussed some spiritual things with him Tuesday during the day. And then Tuesday night, we went back to Shastri Park where Tad preached, and a lot of folks there. We gathered after church was over in the home of one of the members, spent some good time enjoying association, and ate together and said our farewells. Wednesday morning, Tad and I were up at 4 o'clock in the morning to catch our flight back up to Johannesburg to pick up Joe and go on to fly to Zimbabwe on that Wednesday morning. So that's just a brief overview of the time we spent in South Africa. I want to spend more time this morning telling you about what happened in Zimbabwe and our trip there. As I said, we had a very early start that Wednesday morning. We made our connection in Johannesburg, got up to Zimbabwe, Victoria Falls in the early afternoon. course, we support Tenzin Manguinyana in the work that he's doing in Victoria Falls. So Tenzin is the one who arranged our work there, and I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But we hadn't hardly got our feet on the ground. We grabbed a sandwich, and Tenzin, the group there at Victoria Falls, meets at his home on Wednesday evening. So the group was there. Preachers were coming in for the preacher training that we were supposed to start the next day. Most of them were already there, plus a number of Tenzin's neighbors, some of them non-Christians, came. And so we met not in Tenzin's house, which is quite small, but out in his yard, which is also quite small, but enough room there for the visiting preachers, the visitors from the neighborhood. And here we are then in Zimbabwe, and the northern part of Zimbabwe, just north of South Africa. And here I am preaching Wednesday night using a translator. Most of the people there could speak English, but we did have some visitors from the community who could not. So my friend Professor is translating for me here into the Shona language as I preach. Thursday morning, we hit the ground running with the preacher training. And Tenzin had arranged, we'd spent a lot of time communicating about this and what we wanted to do. My feeling is that when American preachers go to foreign lands, you can go around to all the villages and preach and have some success in doing that. A lot of times it's required that you have a translator with you. You don't really know the situation in some of those rural areas and some of those local congregations. So you can do some good there, but my feeling is that maybe our better accomplishment, what we can use our time is better spent in training the preachers, in teaching them things. And then they can take those lessons out and they know the situations in their local congregations and they can share those lessons. And so I feel like our work as American preachers when we go over there is really magnified if we can help the native preachers. And then all the churches where they work are strengthened. So that's what I worked with Tenzin on to accomplish this on this trip. I'm showing you a map of Zimbabwe to say that Tenzin did a tremendous job of getting 22 preachers who are influential in their areas, about half of them older, more mature, half of them younger, to come to Victoria Falls. He got men literally from all over the country. Some of them had to ride buses and public transportation for up to 24 hours to get to Victoria Falls. These men sacrificed. They paid their own way to come. I will talk to you about some of their expenses and other things a little bit later. The church here at Eastside agreed to pay their way to go home and to pay for food for them while they were there. We also paid to put them up in very rough accommodations. They slept in a school at night. So these were men who were willing to sacrifice to come and receive this training. We helped them somewhat, but they were willing to basically pay a price of time and of finances, which are very short supply among some of these preachers, to be able to come and receive this training. I'm showing you this map to show you where some of them came from. Here is Victoria Falls, where we were located. We had men come from Bulawayo, Wangi, Binga. We had a number of men come from Mutari, which is as far away across the country as you can be. We had a man come up from Bitebridge. We had men come from Harare. And so you can see they literally came from all across the country. And we're so grateful for their willingness to sacrifice and be there for our classes. And so here we are, that Thursday morning, getting ready for the classes. All of these men really ready to go. Here is, of course, Joe. Here's, myself and Tad back in the shadows there as we're beginning to be ready to teach. And I must say, our teaching was to these preachers, had to do with the work of a preacher and had to do with the work of the church. And a couple of these sermons I shared with you before I went over, but focusing on what is a preacher supposed to be doing in his work, what is the church supposed to be doing in a way that pleases God. This is information that these men desperately need. Several of these men came out of institutionalism. The institutional churches are very strong, especially in the eastern part of Zimbabwe, where some of these men came from. And they really are facing questions about institutionalism every day. And they needed help in finding some answers to the questions that they have. So these are the topics that we arranged. What is the work of the church? How does God want us to, help with benevolence, for instance? How does he want us to help to do our work in evangelism, and so on and so forth? So these are the men that participated in this training. We had a small room there in the lodge that we were staying that we rented to have the classes for the men. Here I am teaching on the work of the church and the work of preachers on that first day. You see some of the older men there that are in my class, very attentive, asking a lot of questions as we go through the teaching, really, I think, gaining a lot from it. Sometimes we'd split the group up, and Joe or I would keep the older men in the small room. Tad would take the younger men out into the garden area there and sit them at a picnic table, and so he had several sessions with the younger men out there in the picnic table teaching them. This went on for basically all of the day Thursday, all of the day Friday, and about half the day on Saturday. Very, very intensive teaching. This was our main mode of transportation. One guy had a pickup truck, and this is his pickup truck. It could use shock absorbers, I can tell you that. Didn't have air conditioning. In fact, one of the windows didn't even roll down. Windows in the back were broken out, but he had provided this pickup, and so we would go from, when it was lunchtime, we'd carry the folks from the lodge where we were staying back over to Tinson's house. Tinson's wife then by, fixed everybody lunch, and then we'd carry him back for classes in the afternoon. If that was the only riding that we had to do in the pickup truck, that would have been fine, but as you'll see in a minute, there was significant more amount of riding that we did in the pickup truck. I think I spent about 4 hours in the back of that pickup truck going places, and actually Tad, who you see here among some of the brethren, spent a lot more time in the back of that pickup truck. And but as he said, we can't even tell Paul, yeah, we suffered as good soldiers and all of that sort of thing. It wasn't really suffering. These men thought they were riding on a magic carpet or something. So they weren't even used to that. They got around in worse ways than that. After the preacher training on Friday, we went down to a little place, about a 20-minute ride south of Victoria Falls called Sidobe, where Tad preached, and you see the huts there at Sidobe. This is a very rural village. Their preacher, Stephen Indelova, was with us in the preacher training. So we went down. Tad preached there that night to the villagers, did a fine job. Tad, this is his first trip over there, and he acquitted himself very, very well. Was a very big help in the work. The next day after the preacher training, which was Saturday, we traveled about an hour and a half down to the village of Lucosia. And they meet in a school on Sundays, but other than that, they meet under this tree. Joe and I had both been there before. We had a good crowd in Lucosia. There were others that joined us besides the villagers. We had a rooster. We had about 4 pigs. We had some goats that joined us in this assembly. Joe did a fine job, and he is using there a translator by the name of Short. Monte, I think is how you say his last name. I may not be getting that right, but we just call him Short, and he does a very good job of translating. The next morning, we were back up. Well, before we left, we took out our picture taken with the preacher and his family there. This is Christopher Mafosa and his family. And this also is another preacher who was there, Gibson Theory. And Gibson will be the preacher at the place we go the next afternoon. So I wanted to include his picture in this as well. This is he and his young family. The next morning, we were back at Victoria Falls, and Joe and I both preached here on Sunday morning. That afternoon, we ride back into the truck, back in the truck down to the village of Mafimba. Mafimba is a very, very rural village. There is no electricity in these rural villages. Some people have some solar panels and can get a little electricity, but basically there's no electricity, no running water. They have a village well or a borehole or something like that where they get water. So this is as rural as you can imagine. There are a good group of Christians that are meeting here. As I mentioned, Gibson Beery is the preacher in this congregation. We got down there and Joe preached, and also one of the native preachers, Takamukani, preached. And as a result of their preaching, here's Joe preaching with Trimore translating. But as a result of their preaching and some work that Gibson had done, we had four baptisms that day. Here are four people who came forward, and Tenzin Mangwinyana is taking the good confession from these four individuals that came forward. We're meeting, obviously, in a mud hut, has a tin roof. Most of the people are sitting on the floor. But these people were ready to obey the gospel. All of them fairly young teenagers, I would say older teenagers, maybe in the age bracket from 16 to 19 or something like that. We had to go to the village well to get water for the baptism. This is a picture of Tenzin and I walking down the trail to the village well. Tenzin has his arm around me for some reason there, but we're headed down the trail to go to the village well. Here we are. They have to pump the water into buckets, and that was really a group effort. There's this long, big pole, and they worked for some long time in the hot African sun to get that water out. Water's put into buckets, and no, you don't baptize in a bucket. You take the water in the bucket, and you pour it in basically a tub, and you use that tub to baptize in. So it's quite an undertaking. This is Gibson putting the water into the tub. And here is one of those who's come to be baptized. She's a young mother. The others were single people. This is a young mother. She's waiting her turn to be baptized into Christ. And here she is being baptized into Christ for the remission of her sin. Very moving experience, to say the least. And again, I'm telling you all this to say you have a part in everything that was done and in all that was accomplished in this place. Here's what that meeting looked like that day at Mafimba. Took a picture of all of the women sitting on the floor. A couple of the women in this picture were baptized that day. You can see them sort of in the middle of the picture. I'm showing you this to tell you another story, though, that happened that day. One of the native preachers, whose name is Kutukwashi, which took me 4 days to learn to say, he was with us that morning at Victoria Falls, and they had asked him to preside over the Lord's Supper and the contribution. And then when we got down to Mafimba, because other preachers were doing the preaching, they asked him to do the same thing there. They asked him to preside over the Lord's Supper and the taking up of the collection. And they passed the plate, as they do here, as we do here, to take up the collection. And these people have nothing. I mean, most of them have no money to give. There is no money. And Kutukwashi prays a prayer at both places after the plate has been passed. And he prays a blessing on the money that was given, of course, that it would be used for God's glory. And he prays for a blessing on those who are unable to give, they might have something to give the next Lord's Day. Have you ever in your life been so poor that you literally had nothing to give to the Lord that you love? I want to tell you, I sat there that day, and as Kutukwashi prayed that prayer, I just cried. Think about loving the Lord so much and serving Him in such a hostile place, under such difficult conditions, yet you've got nothing you can do. I was reminded of what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 2 about how those in the churches of Macedonia, despite a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. These people were poor beyond poor. Some of you had individually given us some funds for the relief of the poor. We use those, I hope, in a way that God is pleased with and you would be pleased with. Short was needing money for some Bibles and songbooks in the native language of Tonga, I believe is what he used in the village there in Dinga. Dinga is a very, very poor area. I gave him $200 for songbooks and Bibles, which is money that individuals here had given me. Another one of the preachers just stopped receiving any support whatsoever. And so I gave him $200, money that was entrusted to me. The same preacher, I have to tell this story. And I could tell it probably 100 others, but I think this is important. I've been at the preacher training. We've been talking in the preacher training, a lesson actually that I preached here, about how the church benevolence is limited, and we just can't help everybody out of the treasury of the church that's in the world that might be in need. And he asked a question in our session when we were studying that. He said, well, what about a situation where there's a member of the church, maybe a young mother, and she dies, and she leaves an orphan baby? And can the church take money out of the contribution to help this orphan baby? And I said, well, not according to the pattern that's laid down, but what can happen is individuals can certainly help that orphan child. And I think if that happened in a congregation in the United States, if there were no other family to take care of the child, some family in the church would step up and take that child in. I said, I'd be sure of that. In fact, I've been part of congregations where that's been done. And I talked about where we were several years ago, and a lot of foster kids were kept, a lot of kids were adopted, and all of that sort of thing. And so that answered his question for the moment. But later on, as we were discussing together and I got with him privately, he explained that this was actually a physical situation where he was, that he'd gone down and started a little church kind of down from where he normally preaches. They converted a young mother, and she passed away. She left a six-month-old baby. And initially, a grandmother who's not a Christian took that child in, but they needed money for food. And so initially, individuals were sending about $40 a month down to provide food for that child. Well, after a while, the individual help dried up. Somebody moved away who was helping, and now no individuals can send money down there, or at least not enough. And so the church there decided, well, we'll just take money out of the treasury to send down to this child. Well, this preacher, as a result of our study, realizes that that's not according to the pattern. That's not the way it should have been handled. So he's convinced of that. And in our conversation, he says, I'm going to go back to where I preach, and I'm going to preach the truth about that, and we'll discuss it in our business meeting. And I'm sure that reason will prevail. And kind of cringe, and I said, well, I hope it does, but a lot of times in the United States it doesn't. So I said, I hope that the truth and reason will prevail, and that individuals will again take up the responsibility of this child. But I said, I went back and talked to Tad and Joe about it. They'd also been given some funds by individuals. And so between the three of us, we had enough that as individuals, we could give him the money to take care of that orphan for a year. And that would enable him to work with the church, to get them into a position to see the truth and how what they needed to do. He said that he was very, very thankful for that sort of lead time to do some teaching there, to bring them to a point where they could see the responsibility of themselves as individuals to take care of that orphan child. So that was, I thought, a very good thing that was provided for by individuals here at Eastside and by some individuals where Tad and Joe are from as well. I just want to thank you. I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to go. And I want to thank my God for you and for using all of us in His kingdom. It's what being a child of God is about. And doing this together. I was able to preach at a public high school. Henson teaches here regularly on morality. And Monday, after that Sunday. Monday, he arranged for me to preach to an assembly. This was all 9th and 11th graders. This school has about 1,000 kids in it. I think there must have been maybe 300 or 400 in this assembly, it looked like. But I was able to preach there. They allow Bible teaching. Imagine that, in a public school. And I can just preach right out of the Bible, and they seem to really appreciate the teaching. They appreciate Kenson a lot there and the work that he does at that school. The gospel was preached on this trip. I was able to preach quite a number of lessons, teach a number of classes, have a number of private studies. Between the three of us preachers, I believe we preached or taught publicly over 50 times in the 2 weeks that we were there, as well as holding a number of private studies. This particular picture is one that I took near Victoria Falls. The rainbow is caused in a clear sky by the mist coming up from Victoria Falls. And I'm reminded, of course, about the promises of God. As I took that picture and as I look at it now, I can't believe that I was there. I can't believe that there's such a beautiful place on this earth. And I thought that if God made something so beautiful on this earth, heaven must really be something. I know God is a promised people. I'm so thankful for his promises. I'm so thankful for the promise of the gospel. I'm so thankful that he provides for us that we might serve others. Isn't that a wonderful blessing, brethren? That God provides for us that we might serve others. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10, Paul says, "May he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you are enriched in everything for all liberality." Brethren, we have been enriched here in America, at this Eastside Church. We have been enriched in everything so that we might give and so that we might serve. And God be thanked that we were able to do that in some small way on this trip. This morning, as we close, we've not talked about what to do to be saved. We've not talked about your need to respond to the gospel, but God has given you tremendous gifts, whoever you are. Don't waste them. Give them to him in his service. Be used by him to glorify his name. That's what life is all about. If you're ready to give your life to him this morning in that way, we'd ask you to come while we stand and sing.